It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegebrink. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Unfortunately, there are a large number of people in Virginia who are eligible for Medicaid who are not in the program. We estimate that there are approximately 100,000 uninsured children who could get Medicaid.
Virginia Poverty Law Center attorney Jill Hankin continues to explain the tricky rules to get Medicaid and other government health insurance in part two of a two-part interview. And you'll learn when you can pay your rent late and stay, and when you can't, during our weekly question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. This show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR.
Ain't gonna let injustice turn me around, turn me around, no, turn me around. Ain't gonna let injustice turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up the freedom.
And now, this week's news you can use. Scammers masquerading as debt collectors and law enforcement officials have terrified consumers with threatening phone calls and bilked them out of thousands of dollars. The scammers, who speak with heavy foreign accents, are known for repeatedly calling people at home and at work and threatening them with arrest if they don't repay supposed debts, debts that don't actually exist. The scammers operate under names such as U.S. National Bank, Federal Investigation Bureau, and United Legal Processing. They also have invoked the names of actors Denzel Washington and Steve Martin. The scammers have been impossible to trace, using a multitude of phone numbers and fake addresses. Consumers with complaints about U.S. National Bank are encouraged to contact the Federal Trade Commission or their state attorney general's office. In Virginia, that number is 804-786-2216 or toll-free at 1-800-451-1525. In other news, the number of people losing their homes continues to climb across the country and in Central Virginia. Homeowners and renters are left without a place to stay. And local homeless shelters say they're seeing more and more average Americans who simply can't afford to keep a roof over their heads. The statistics now are frightening. According to a recent study by Homeward, an agency that helps find housing for the homeless, 5% of people now living in shelters or on the streets have experienced foreclosure on their homes or rental properties. There's also a 10% increase in homeless children. On any given day, you can now find over 150 children in a shelter because their families have been impacted by the housing crisis. But there is help for Richmonders, including Caritas, Homeward, and a long list of other agencies. Homeward is now working on a 10-year plan to prevent and end homelessness in Richmond. Contact Homeward at 804-343-2045. Or online at www.homewardva.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegebrink. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
This week's legal term of the week is Supplemental Security Income, or SSI. SSI is a federal program that pays monthly payments to aged, blind, and disabled people. The Social Security Administration runs the program. You must have low income and low resources or property. You don't need to have worked or paid Social Security taxes to get SSI. Because SSI is based on need, you must apply for all other benefits for which you might be eligible. SSI is like a welfare program and should not be confused with Social Security, which is like an insurance program. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's legal term of the week.
It's time for our weekly question and answer session. We're here in the studio, and we have a questioner with a question. Please give us your name and where you're from.
Effie from Sandston.
Well, thank you for being on the show. What's your question for us?
My question is, if you receive an eviction from a landlord and you pay the balance in full prior to your eviction, does the landlord have the right to still evict you if they accept your payment?
Effie, that's a great question. And we get that question probably a dozen or more times a week. Virginia law gives you three opportunities to pay your rent late and stay. The first is within any grace period of your lease, and you can do that any number of times. The second is within any five-day pay or quit period, and again, you can do that any number of times. The third is if your landlord files an unlawful detainer or an eviction case in court, you can stay if you pay everything you owe, the rent, any late fees called for in a lease, any attorney's fees called for in a lease if there's an attorney involved, and the court costs if you do that no later than the first court date. If you do that, then the case has to be dismissed as paid. Although I always urge people to go to court anyway and stand in front of the clerk or the judge and make sure that the case is dismissed as paid. The landlord has no choice in the matter. The judge has no choice in the matter. However, you can only do that once in any 12-month period of time. The second time within a 12-month period of time that you try to do that, the landlord can accept your money and still go to court. And even though you pay it in full, the landlord can get a judgment of possession only. Now, once a judgment of possession has been entered, whether it's the first time or the second time or the third time, that judgment of possession is good for one full year. And the landlord can keep that hanging over the tenant for one full year. And the landlord can accept the tenant's rent payment in full and still evict the tenant as long as the landlord within 5 business days, which can be as much as 7 or 8 calendar days, gives the tenant what's called a written notice accepting the money, quote, with reservation. And that means the landlord is keeping or reserving the right to take your money and go ahead and evict you anyway. And we see a lot of tenants who believe, unfortunately, quite mistakenly, that as long as they pay in full before the actual eviction by the sheriff takes place, that they get to stay. And unfortunately, that's not true in Virginia law. Unfortunately, under Virginia law, if the landlord takes those payments after the judgment and within 5 business days of each payment gives you a written notice saying, I'm reserving the right to go ahead and evict you, the landlord can go ahead and do that. The only other thing that would save a tenant in that situation would be if you paid the judgment in full and you entered a new lease. And in that situation, the new lease creates a new tenancy, which replaces the old lease and the old tenancy upon which the judgment of possession was based. But other than that, if the landlord takes your money and doesn't make any mistakes, that eviction can be hanging over your head for a whole year. Does that pretty much explain what the law is in this area?
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the show. Last week, attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center talked about Medicaid benefits for the elderly and disabled. The interview now continues as she discusses Medicaid and other government health benefits for families and children. Here's part two of this two-part interview with health law attorney Jill Hankin.
There are two very important programs for low-income children in Virginia. One is the Medicaid program, which provides coverage to children who have family income under 133% of the poverty line. And for that program, that's family income. For example, a family of three would have to have annual income under $23,400 a year, very low income. There's also a program called FAMIS, Family Access to Medical Insurance Security, which provides health insurance to uninsured children who have family income up to 200% of poverty. For that program, a family of three can have $35,200 a year. So it's a higher income level for those children to get FAMIS. If people are interested, they can ask the Department of Social Services about the FAMIS program, because that actually covers both the higher income children and the children who qualify technically for Medicaid, which we also refer to as FAMIS Plus. So that's a very important program for kids. In addition, Medicaid provides services to pregnant women with income under the 133% level can get Medicaid, but even higher income women up to 185% of poverty can get prenatal care and labor delivery services through the FAMIS Moms program. Thirdly, parents are eligible for Medicaid, but parents have to be extremely low income. For a parent to get Medicaid, their income needs to be down under 30% of the poverty line, very low income levels. For a family of three, it's only $356 per month. And just as an aside, this is one of the lowest income levels in the entire country. Virginia's ranked fourth lowest nationally in our eligibility for low-income parents. But those are the groups of people who, if they qualify, can get Medicaid or FAMIS Moms in Virginia.
So to summarize, if you're a low-income parent, you've got to be very low income to get Medicaid.
Yes.
If you're a child, to get Medicaid, you could actually be at or below 133% of poverty.
Right.
And if you're above that, but still below, what, 200% of poverty, you can get FAMIS. Are there other special rules in order to get FAMIS that you wouldn't have to meet to get Medicaid as a child?
Right. Yes, there are. FAMIS has some specific rules. Number one, the child has to be uninsured. Medicaid can be available to a child who already has insurance, but not comprehensive insurance. For example, a lot of private plans may not cover dental services, and a low-income child who has private insurance but not dental insurance can still get Medicaid, and Medicaid would wrap around the private coverage and provide services that the child needs. On the other hand, if a child, the higher income child, has a private insurance plan, they are ineligible for FAMIS. The child has to be uninsured and has to be uninsured for at least 4 months unless the child's family dropped the insurance for certain specified reasons. For example, a lot of people can't afford the private insurance that they have, and if the private insurance costs more than 10% of the family's income, and the family makes that very difficult decision to drop health insurance, then the child, if eligible for FAMIS, can be enrolled immediately into the FAMIS program, despite the fact that they had recently had private insurance.
All right, so we've talked about income rules to get Medicaid as a low-income parent, as a child, pregnant woman. Are there also resource rules to qualify for those various categories of Medicaid, and if so, what would those be?
For these categories that we've just talked about, there are no resource requirements. DSS will not ask questions about money in the bank or your car or your home. It's purely an income test for the categories we've just talked about. Now, if you have children who have income even higher than FAMIS, but they're sick and they have high medical expenses, those very sick children, even with higher family income, can still get Medicaid through the medically needy or spend down program by incurring very high medical expenses. For that category, they are going to also look at the family's resources.
All right, so if you have too much income to get Medicaid or FAMIS, you still would be able to qualify for that, what, six-month spend-down program?
Exactly.
Okay. What medical services does Medicaid cover for families and children?
Medicaid provides very comprehensive, medically necessary services for kids, and there's an important part of the service package for children on Medicaid that we refer to as EPSDT, which stands for Early Periodic Screening, Diagnosis, and Treatment. And it's a great part of the Medicaid program that will provide kids basically with all the medical services that they need. That's why children have been able to get things like comprehensive dental care, comprehensive eye care, organ transplants when necessary, specialized equipment and services for disabled children. It's very, very broad. Whatever the child needs and whatever is medically necessary is available through the EPSDT program.
Now, the EPSDT program, is that available only to children on Medicaid, or is it available also to children who are in the FAMIS program?
It's only available to children on Medicaid. So on the other hand, FAMIS kids on the FAMIS program receive a package of services that's very similar to what's provided to Virginia State employees. But it is comprehensive: inpatient, outpatient care, prescription drugs, comprehensive dental care. So FAMIS also has a very good package of coverage.
And are there any notable medical services that are not covered for low-income parents or children or pregnant women? Or is it pretty much anything that is medically necessary?
I'd say it's pretty much anything that's medically necessary is available through those programs.
Now, are there costs to get Medicaid in these categories of low-income parent or children or pregnant woman?
Children on Medicaid have no cost-sharing obligations. Pregnant women on Medicaid won't have any cost-sharing obligations for pregnancy-related services, but if there's something else going on, there might be a small copayment. On the FAMIS side, there are small copayments across the board for doctor's visits, prescription drugs, inpatient care, etc., but they're reasonable copayments.
And let's talk about coverage for pregnant women just a moment. I assume that the coverage ends at some point after the child has been born. How does that work? And also, if you wouldn't mind telling us, is the child who is born covered by Medicaid?
Pregnant woman who gets prenatal care through the Medicaid program is also eligible for Medicaid coverage for 60 days beyond the end of her pregnancy. So it's 2 months postpartum care is part of that package. And it's very important that pregnant women continue to see the doctor for the period of time after the baby's born. And the newborn, there's a special rule that gives the newborn basically automatic Medicaid eligibility for the first year of the baby's life if the mom would continue to be Medicaid eligible if she was pregnant. So it's a way to transition both the mom and the newborn into good quality health care. An application would then be required at the end of that first year to keep the child on the Medicaid program.
And that's a good segue into my next question, which is just in general, how do you apply for Medicaid? Lead us through the process, if you would.
For children and pregnant women, there are ways to apply for Medicaid by phone or online or at the departments of social services. You can actually fill out an application online at a website, www.famis.org, that's www.famis.org. You can start the application process there, or you can call a toll-free number to apply for Medicaid and FAMIS, and that toll-free number is 1-866-87-FAMIS. Numerically, it's 1-866-873-2647. And that's a great way to get the application started. You can give the telephone person information over the phone, and they will send to you an application to sign, and you return it with income verification. So you have to submit some pay stubs or other documentation of the income in the family. So this can be done by fax or through the mail. And all of Virginia's departments of social services also take applications for Medicaid and FAMIS for all those groups that we've been talking about, kids, pregnant women, parents.
Now, what if the Medicaid program makes a decision you disagree with? They deny your application, or you're on Medicaid and they decide for whatever reason to terminate you. What's your recourse?
People have the right to appeal any decision that they disagree with, and there's a process set up which allows people first to communicate with the decision maker on the case for like an informal conference to ask questions about why a decision was made. But if that doesn't resolve the questions, people have a right to request a fair hearing. And at the fair hearing, an independent hearing officer will review the facts and information and make a decision about whether or not the agency acted properly. And even beyond the administrative fair hearing, if people are still dissatisfied with a decision, they have rights to file a case for judicial review in Virginia's circuit courts.
And I guess one final question, Jill. Do you find that most people who are eligible for the Medicaid program are, in fact, on Medicaid and getting the benefits of the program, or are there still large numbers who may not know about it and need to apply?
Unfortunately, there are a large number of people in Virginia who are eligible for Medicaid who are not in the program. We estimate that there are approximately 100,000 uninsured children who could get Medicaid or FAMIS, but they haven't applied. So I would encourage families to sit down and think about this. With the high costs of everything these days, health insurance is extremely expensive, and lower income families, and as you can see, even middle income families often can't afford health insurance. And these are programs available for kids in particular that would provide comprehensive health insurance. So remember that you're talking about a family of three with annual income of around $35,000 a year, families of four with income around $42,000 a year. Those are families whose children could get FAMIS coverage and comprehensive health insurance as a result.
Well, and hopefully the information you provided will encourage people to go out and apply for FAMIS and other coverage that they might be eligible for and are not. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks, Marty.
Ain't gonna let discrimination turn me around.
This week's top three tips are about security deposits. The first tip is that your security deposit can only be used for unpaid rent, late fees, and damages beyond normal wear and tear. The second tip is that within 5 days of moving in, your landlord must give you a written report listing all damages when you move in. And within 3 days of moving out, your landlord must inspect and list all damages when you move out. The third tip is that within 45 days after moving out, your landlord either must return your security deposit or must give you a list of all deductions from your deposit. If not, you can sue your landlord. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. If you're found or plead guilty to a crime, you may lose more than just your liberty or your right to vote. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, criminal defense lawyer Esther Windmuller, reveals the troubling civil consequences of a criminal conviction affecting your ability to get employment, public benefits, housing, education, and even the right to keep your children. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wentworth.